Let us pray. Our Lord and Master, as we have just sung, you have promised that the man who devotes himself to Scripture is in the way of blessing, that you will cause his soul to prosper. You will spiritually renew him. Lord, we come seeking that promise for ourselves tonight. As we come, Lord, to study and to meditate upon your word, we ask for this promised blessing, that your Holy Spirit might be poured out upon us and would renew in us your own image of holiness and joy. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Last Sunday evening, we began to consider together the glory of the Holy Spirit, the glory of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, the one God. And we considered that we must have the right approach when we come to think of the Spirit, that we must think in Trinitarian terms. We must not separate the Spirit from the oneness of God, of the Father and Son together. And that we must not separate the Spirit from the person and work of Christ, because only through Christ, the historic Word who took on flesh and lived and died and rose again, do we actually know the Spirit, only through his work as our mediator. And we considered that the Holy Spirit comes to give us joy, to give us joy in God the Father through Jesus the Son. Well, tonight I'd like us to consider another great statement by Jesus about the Holy Spirit. Please turn with me in the Gospel of John to chapter 7 and verse 37. The Gospel of John, chapter 7, reading from verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And it's this great statement of Jesus, which John tells us was about the Holy Spirit, that I want us to consider. "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." This is an enormous promise. This is an astounding promise of what Jesus promises to give us in and through the Holy Spirit. His coming to us will be like rivers of living water. And tonight I really want us to focus on that key thought, rivers of living water. And when Jesus uses that picture, those words, to speak about the Spirit, what does he mean by it? What is he trying to get across to us by speaking of the Spirit as flowing rivers of living water? But before we can consider what that means in a positive sense, there's first a difficulty that we need to address. And it's the difficulty of the limits of our language. The limits of language. This is our difficulty. How do we describe the Holy Spirit? How do we find the vocabulary or the pictures to be able to think of him and describe him? There's a great danger with the Holy Spirit that I think many of us are tempted, we're drawn to think of him as an it, as a kind of substance or thing. Because this word Spirit is difficult for us to grasp. What does that really mean? Well, we find it easier, I think, to think of God the Father in personal terms. Because we've all had a father. We all have those kinds of human relationships, so we can identify with that. We certainly find it easier to think of God the Son in personal times, because he took on flesh. And again, as we see him in his humanity, we know him, we can relate to him. But it seems far more difficult, doesn't it, to think of the Holy Spirit in personal terms. But he is a person, in the same sense that the Father and Son are. Perhaps we find it so difficult to think of the Spirit in personal terms because in the Scriptures he's so often spoken of in terms of being like water, wind, fire, a cloud, darkness, which are all impersonal things. But we must never forget the right way to understand these pictures of the Spirit. They're all being used to describe manifestations of his power. They are metaphors, pictures, analogies, or demonstrations of his power. The Holy Spirit too is personal, like Father and Son. He is grieved, he speaks, he listens, he wills, he calls, he visits. He is the one God, the Lord, who loves and creates and saves. This difficulty of language is, as has often been said, baby talk from God to us, to help us begin to understand him as this infinite, eternal Spirit. Yet another baby illustration. I warned you that they might come thick and fast. I love that Wesley has these baby noises, these gurgles and little coos and ahs, and who knows what they mean. It's his own little way of communicating. Well, God is so infinitely far above us, far more than we are above a baby. And yet he has condescended to speak to us in ordinary, everyday language and terms and pictures that we can understand and grasp. And that's what's going on here with this picture of rivers of living water. Now, I say all of this just because I want you to think of the Spirit in the right way. And because so often we think of him in this insubstantial way. But he is God and a person within the Godhead. And also, very often in Scriptures it speaks about the Spirit being poured out, or him flowing or dwelling in a person's heart. Now, of course, God the Spirit, as God, cannot physically be flowing and moving and dwelling in a kind of literal physical material sense. God is everywhere and omnipresent. But again, these words, these limits of language are describing to us the actions of the Spirit. They're describing how he acts in a new way or to a new degree, or how he manifests himself and reveals himself in a certain way. So when we speak about the Spirit flowing, we're really speaking about his works, his gifts, his power in action, that they are flowing out. I hope I've not laboured the point of the limits of our language, but it's so important that we think of the Spirit in the right terms. Well, with the difficulty to one side, let us come to the positive meaning of what this text says. What does Jesus mean when he speaks of the Spirit as flowing rivers of living water? There's one key word to grasp hold of tonight. Abundance. Abundance. That's the heart of what Jesus means. He promises that the coming of the Spirit, the Spirit's work, will be abundant in the lives of his people. After his glorification, after his resurrection and his ascension to heaven, the Holy Spirit will be at work in the lives of his people in a new, fuller, deeper, richer, more powerful measure than ever before. The Spirit will be doing more in his people's lives. Can you see the picture that comes across in these words? The Spirit is going to flow. He's not going to trickle or sprinkle. It's going to be a torrential outpouring of him. Do you know, of course, as an aside, baptism is linked, of course, to the gift of the Spirit. One of the things that baptism is a picture of is of the outpouring of the Spirit. And of course you can be baptized in several different modes that are all valid. You can be dunked, you can be sprinkled, but my favourite is when there's a huge big bowl of water and it's poured over somebody's head until they're drenched with it and they're just absolutely soaked from head to toe. I think I would love to baptise people like that, because that gives you an idea of this outpouring, this drenching of the Spirit, this flowing of the Spirit that Jesus promises. And he says, rivers, plural. He's not just going to be like one river, but many, a multitude of flowing rivers. And it will be living water, moving water, meaning it's never going to stop flowing. It's without end. It's always going to be new. It's always going to be fresh in their lives. It's going to be a daily supply of abundance for his people. Jesus says this is as the scriptures have said. Now, the difficulty is that there's no one exact verse that seems to match the exact words of Jesus here. Well, let me suggest to you what he's doing is he's speaking about all of scripture. Of course, at this point, the Old Testament. And he's drawing together the many pictures of the Spirit from the Old Testament and saying, here's what I mean. Because throughout the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is pictured and his work is pictured as being like a river, like a flowing stream. And every time that picture is there, it's to convey this idea of abundance. That's what's there in those psalms we've sung today. Abundance that comes. There is certainly a contrast here with the barrenness of life without the Spirit. All of this takes place on the last day, the great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which, of course, if you'll remember, is when the people of God were commanded to build temporary tents while they celebrated the feast as a reminder and a reliving of the Exodus and how they had to live out in the desert for 40 years, not having a proper home, but living in tents. And how out in the wilderness, they were utterly dependent upon God to supply them with water and food. But how many times in the desert they're getting desperate and thirsty and they're crying out, we're in a wilderness here, we're so thirsty. Well, during the ceremony of the Feast of Tabernacles, the priest would take up a small cup of water and they would carry it in a procession to the temple and the altar, and it would be poured out before God. And it was symbolic, really, of two things. The first, of God's promise to always provide life for his people. That just as he did in the desert, in the Exodus, he would always provide water, which was symbolic for providing everything they would need to live. But it was also looking forward as a promise to the more abundant time of the Messiah, when God would pour out a water that would renew the whole world and the whole creation. And so it was both of these things going on. From this picture of God's promise to provide life, contrasted with the desert of this sinful world, what an astonishing thing that Jesus stands up on the last day and he says, this is fulfilled through me. This is a statement where Jesus is undoubtedly claiming to be God. He's saying, I'm the one who provides all this fullness of life, all that the Exodus was pointing to. And I'm the one through whom this promise of the healing of creation will come. It will come through me. And again, what a contrast. In essence, Jesus is saying, you're looking at this one cup over here that's symbolic, and you marvel. From me, there's going to be rivers of living water. What a contrast, again, of abundance that's being brought out for us. It's also certainly this picture of rivers of living water, a picture of the abundance of the Spirit's outreach. His work is going to go out to all the world, to all the earth. Certainly the Lord Jesus draws this picture of a living river, living water, from the passage you heard in Ezekiel 47. In that passage, Ezekiel is given a vision of the new temple that will be built, which of course is a spiritual, symbolic representation of Christ. But that from this temple, this river flows out. And did you notice the details? But it flows out, and as it goes out, it got deeper and deeper and deeper until it was so deep nobody could cross it. And then it flowed out into the seas, and wherever it went, it brought healing and restoration. And the fish, though, certainly, I think, of a representation for the nations, the peoples. It's where Jesus perhaps gets the idea of calling people to be fishers of men. But the idea is that this life, this work of the Spirit, will flow out to all the world. That it's going to be so deep, it's greater than any person's needs, and the world will be healed and restored. And of course, we're seeing that today. Ever since the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has been not just at work in Israel, but has gone out to the nations. There are Christians all over the world. This very day, there are millions of people praising and glorifying God. Again, there is this abundance of the Spirit's work. It's also a picture of the never-ending abundance of the Spirit. This is Revelation chapter 22. The other passage you heard. Again, this river flows from the throne. It flows from Christ. But what was it doing? It was healing and renewing all of creation. But this next age it was speaking of is eternal. This gift of the Spirit will never come to an end. This work of the Spirit giving abundance of life will never end. It's a picture of the abundance of peace that the Holy Spirit gives. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. From Zion, I will extend peace like a river. Or as it Psalm 46 said, a river whose streams make glad the people of God. It's a picture of the abundance of healing and joy that he brings. Isaiah 41, I will make rivers flow on barren heights, springs within the valleys. I will turn deserts into pools of water, parched ground into springs. Abundance. Isaiah 12 verse 3, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Jesus also is giving us here a picture of the abundance of forgiveness that we receive through the Spirit. The Spirit comes like a water to wash us and cleanse us. Another promise from Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and your idols. I will give you a new heart and put my Spirit within you. Titus, chapter 3, verse 5. According to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly. Do you see, this is what Jesus is saying through this picture of the Spirit as rivers of living water. His coming is to do an abundant work of blessing. One that is plentiful, large, overflowing, ample, bountiful, copious, exuberant, full, generous, heavy, lavish, liberal, profuse, rich, teeming. This is what Jesus promises to us through the Holy Spirit. So my question is, do you know the abundance of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you know this abundance of peace and joy? This abundance of strength and power. The Lord Jesus promises this gift to every believer. If anyone thirsts, whoever comes to me and believes. So let me suggest to you, no, let me state to you, this work of abundance is taking place in your life. If you are a Christian, this is not about some second blessing or second experience that somehow you've got to seek after and be a better Christian to obtain. No. This is speaking about the Spirit's work in your life now. Do not underestimate how amazing it is that you are a Christian at all. The miracle of new birth that has taken place in you. You are born again. If you are a believer. And all things are yours in Christ. This abundance is yours in Christ. And just as the Spirit's work in Ezekiel got deeper and deeper the longer it went on, So this abundant work of the Spirit will become deeper and deeper in your life. It will be so until one day you will be in glory and that abundance will go on and on and on. If you are a Christian, this is what he's doing in your life. So what is this message of abundance meant to give you? Assurance. Assurance. A confidence in your salvation. A joy, a peace that the salvation we have in Christ is sufficient. More than sufficient. God has not given to you sips of grace. You're not meant to go to heaven trembling with fear, always nervous of falling away, but confident that God has supplied abundantly for every need you will face. The Spirit is so abundant, he will never be unable to meet your needs in this life. If you understand that this abundant supply is yours, you should go home tonight rejoicing. Christ has been glorified. He has given the Spirit to you. Sin has been defeated. Life has been renewed. Glory to God. This abundance is there for you. How can we enjoy this abundance? How can we know and experience this abundance in our lives? How can we gain this assurance, this confidence of the Spirit's supply to us? Again, Christ gives us the answer. We must come to the source of the river. To Christ. Come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me will receive this blessing. If you want to enjoy this abundance and assurance of the Spirit's work in your life, you will find it by looking at Christ. By communing with Christ. Meditating on Christ. Copying Christ. Trusting Christ. Seeking Christ. Because Christ is the abundant source of the Spirit. In him all the fullness of deity dwells. In his incarnate form. He is the crucified Saviour. Who has borne all our sin and taken it away. And he is the exalted and glorified Lord who lives forever. He is full of grace and truth. Commune with Christ, and this abundance of the Spirit will flow in your life. Focus on the fullness of Christ, his work on the cross, his resurrection, his abundance of power to save, and the Spirit's work will be abundantly known within you. We must use our faith. When within we seem to be so dry, we seem so barren in our Christian lives. We are looking within. Look to Christ. Look and see he's there. He's exalted. He has all things and all power. Look to him. And his abundant power will be known in our lives. Commune with him. When you pray, when you read scripture, make that your goal. Simply to be with Christ. To know Christ. To learn more of him and be in his presence. If we make this our goal, he will grant us to know more of this abundance of the Spirit. Please, brothers and sisters, be assured tonight of the certainty of salvation. That God cannot fail. We have been given this gift of the indwelling Spirit who is like rivers of living water. Believe it and be assured he will keep you and transform your life. Let us pray. Our Lord and Saviour, thank you for your Holy Spirit who comes to dwell in us. We thank you that there is no end to his power and grace, that whatever we may face, he is able. We thank you that he is so full of grace, he can overcome all the sin that is in us. We thank you that he's so full of life, he can fill us time and time again when we are spiritually empty. When we find, Lord, we don't have the strength to pray and to keep going, we thank you that in the Spirit there is a fullness of joy to empower us again and again. And so, gracious Father, we ask that you would help us to commune with Christ every day, that we might, through the Spirit, know his fullness. Help us, please, O Lord, to seek him in our prayers, to enjoy him, to know him in Scripture. And we pray, Father, please grant us to know this week a greater abundance of your Spirit's work within us. Help us to believe, we pray, through Christ our Lord. Amen.